This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. The website has quite a little information on it that might be of help to you. The program is there if you want to re-listen to it or want to download it. And again, if you'd like to contact me so that you can have a free subscription to Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to give me your address so that I can send it on to them. So if you want either my email address or my website address or my mailing address, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're close to Thanksgiving. Most of you have got your bellies full of turkey and dressing, and you've enjoyed family and all the things that go with Thanksgiving. And we are glad that we have one day in the year when nationally we are thankful for our blessings. It's probably one of the most scriptural holidays that we could have. It is true that we shouldn't just be thankful one day out of the year. We should be thankful every day. But because we are human, it's nice to have a day dedicated to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for our country, thanksgiving for our government, thanksgiving for the blessings we've received at the hands of God. Most of all, we should be thankful, should we not, for the gift of God's Son. We should be thankful that a person only needs to know John 3:16 to be thankful today. If they have really understood and believed in the truth of that verse, one of the key verses in our Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And for those who have believed in the Lord, the gift that God has given us, we have much to be thankful for. We know that right now our world is in a turmoil. Our country is divided. We know that there are many things that we fear. Some are fearing the loss of jobs, and some are fearing the loss of health. But if we have the Lord as our Savior, we have our future secure. This life is not all there is. We have a home prepared for us in heaven. We are part of the bride of Christ. We'll never go to the eternal condemnation, the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. We who are saved, who have received the gift of God's love, we have it made, and we have much to be thankful for. Now, I'm going to break away from the normal teaching that I've been doing through the Gospel of Luke today, and I'm going to think today about a verse that we find in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. I think I have it prominently on my website because it's a verse that has meant a lot to me over the years, and it's a verse I want to share with you on this Thanksgiving period, this period of time when we think about Thanksgiving. It says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And the point I'm going to make this morning, the thing I want to leave you with this morning, is that normally at Thanksgiving time, we are thankful for what we have received. But as I look at this verse, and we'll put it in its context in a few minutes, as I look at this verse, what I'm thinking this morning is that not only should we be concerned with the things we have received that we can be thankful for, but we should ask ourselves, in what way have we, if we are truly Christians, in what way have we made a difference in this world so that others can be thankful? Now, we know that our salvation does not rest on what we do. Our salvation rests on what Christ has done for us. He paid the debt that we could not pay when he died for us at the cross of Calvary. And when we get saved, we receive a free gift. And we have often emphasized on this program the relationship between Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2 is, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Verse 9 says, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." But verse 10 goes on to put works in perspective. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so the God is good, and he is trying through the new birth to make a people who do serve him and who do good. And the question I've had in my mind is, we who are so blessed, what have we done this last year? What are we doing in this Thanksgiving season so that others can say, I'm sure glad I knew that person. I'm sure glad that that person came into my life. I am sure thankful for what that person has done for me. Now, some of us don't have a lot of wealth that we can share with others. At this point in time, if we had a lot of wealth, I'm sure most of us would be trying to help people out on Long Island who are still suffering from Sandy, the great storm that went through there, or perhaps we would help people in New Jersey, or perhaps we would still be helping people that are suffering from the after effects of Katrina down in New Orleans, or we might be doing as some are doing in my class at the senior center. We might be making things that people can use over in Haiti, that poor country that has been so devastated. And so as we look at the misery of people around us, we, if we had lots of money, could do a lot for people like that, because we're told that oftentimes what they need is money. If we go to help, we sometimes are in the way. I know I'm not a real handy person, and if I went to help, I probably would be more of a hindrance than a help, because I'd have to be fed, and I probably wouldn't know exactly what to do to help rebuild and help those people. But even in my own community, can people look at me and say, that person makes a difference? Now, in my case, the way I like to make a difference is I like to take people to heaven with me. And I realize that I cannot do that very well if people don't realize that I have a personal interest in them. They can't believe that my service for the Lord is only designed so that I will get points with God, so to speak. They have to believe that my service is not self-serving. And so as I look at this verse, we look at a people who are doing something for others, and the Lord says, when you're doing it for others, you're doing it for me. And we see through the scriptures that oftentimes the people that we're helping are not the people that we normally associate with. The Lord uses the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we've looked at it to show that sometimes it's the people that we are prejudiced against that help us. And obviously, it's the people that we are, naturally speaking, prejudiced against that we should be helping. And of course, what that means is that we shouldn't really be prejudiced against anyone. We should recognize that God has created all the nations, all the colors, all the people of this earth. He's created them for his benefit, for his glory. And yet Satan came in, and through sin, he has made this world a very disturbing place at times, and we can make it better. Now, in this passage, we're really looking at end time prophecy. In Matthew 24, we're looking at the things that will happen during the 7 years that we call the tribulation period. I know there are some people that look at Bible prophecy and they think all the things that are put in passages like this are symbolic, that they are really not going to happen in a literal way. And that may be true about some things. There are some descriptions in Revelation that we would assume were symbolic, because when John wrote the book of the Revelation, he was writing about things that he probably couldn't imagine would ever happen. In other words, how would he describe a tank? How would he describe an airplane? Those things hadn't been invented and wouldn't be invented for nearly 2,000 years. And so there are things he wrote, descriptions he wrote, that might be symbolic. But at the same time, I believe that whenever possible, we should take the Bible as literally as possible. And if the context says it's symbolic, okay. But if the context doesn't, take it as literal as possible. And we come into Matthew 24, and the Lord starts telling us about the kinds of things that are going to happen just before the Lord comes to set up his kingdom. And he calls it the end. And it's not the end of time, it's the end of the dispensation. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Do we have those? Of course we do. And there's going to be other things that are going to be happening. And he tells us, in view of what's going to be happening, what kind of people are you going to be? Because in Matthew 25, then, as he describes people that are waiting for the Lord to come, he has virgins that are sleeping. There's wise ones that are really ready for the Lord to come, but they're sleeping along with the people that are not ready for the Lord to come. And then he tells us about the fact that he's going to give us certain resources, talents that we can use for advancing the kingdom. And the question is, while we're waiting, are we using those resources well? And then we come down to this section where he begins to tell us that when he comes with his angels, he's going to judge the world based on their faithfulness to him, and that faithfulness is going to be seen by what they have done to the least of these, my brethren. And the people that are going to be blessed because they have helped these, the least of his brethren, aren't even going to realize that they had been doing it for the Lord. They were just doing it because it was the right thing to do. I really believe that what we're looking at here in this passage has to do with persecution of Jewish believers during the tribulation period. I believe that during the tribulation period, Jewish believers, and it may be just Jews in general, but I believe Jewish believers who are preaching the gospel are going to be dispersed, and they're going to be protected by certain nations in the world. And this really is a national judgment, but you can't judge nations without judging the people in those nations. And so as the Lord decides who to bring into his kingdom and to use in his kingdom as he sets it up, he's going to look at what people did to those Jews who were being persecuted. Did they protect them, or did they themselves add to the persecution? And he says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, while that's the context, we always want to make a personal application to us. We are not in that period, at least the way I understand the Bible, we're not in that period yet. But the principle applies today. We who are saved have been blessed, and one of the things that we should be concerned about is the souls of those around us. And we can't help people with their spiritual problems unless we are concerned about their physical problems. In other words, if they're hungry, we need to feed them before we can help them with their spiritual problems. If they're on drugs, we need to help them with that problem before we can help them with their spiritual problems. And we know that at the minimum, we can be praying for people who are in trouble at this time. And we know in our country, there are many people who are hungry, many people who are on drugs, many people who have been disenfranchised in one way or another because of the way they have been raised or lived. And we need to be concerned about them because we need to be the source of their thankfulness. Not only do we need to be thankful this season, but we need to be people who are providing others a reason to be thankful. And through us, we hope that they get a proper understanding of the grace and truth that we see in the Lord Jesus, because the Lord was full of grace and truth, and we want to properly reflect him to a world that needs him. And so I hope that we're not only thankful, but we're people who are causing others to be thankful. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program. We trust you'll remember all who are listening today. We thank thee for all the blessings you have provided for us, particularly for the blessing of salvation. We thank thee that we live in a country where really, for the most part, there's plenty. And so remember those who are less fortunate and help us be a blessing to them as we think of our responsibility to reflect Christ to a dying world. Now, we ask for thy blessing in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.